Dr. Colin Pfeiffer. It is Tuesday, August 21st, if my calendar is correct. Sounds right to me. I am coming to you live from Washington, D.C., the crime capital not only of the United States, but the crime capital of the world. Got a very interesting call today. I was down there at the American Free Press office helping out today. They're a little short-handed for a reason which I'll tell you about in a moment. But in any case, I was down there and talked to a nice gentleman from New Zealand who called in to renew his subscription. And we had an interesting chat. Gentleman has been to the United States, so it's not like he's totally unfamiliar with our situation here in this country. But he did comment, of course, and we know this to be the case, that the reputation of the United States is going down the tubes. Not so much this country itself, not so much this country's traditions, but I guess what it is, and we know this too, that people around the world just can't understand why we let this criminal gangster by the name of George W. Bush, the pretender to the presidency, why we allow him to continue with his poisonous plots against the people of the United States and against the people of the world, plots planned by the propagandists that populate his White House. We're talking about these so-called neoconservatives. That's a fancy way of saying Jewish extremists, hardline Zionists, fanatical Talmudists, the people who, representing the powerful interests that back up the Israeli lobby in this country, wealthy Jewish financial interests, who have this insane attachment to a tiny foreign nation to the point that they place its interests above those of this country, which is ostensibly theirs, but which is indubitably ours, ladies and gentlemen. So the rest of the world does wonder just what the hell is going on here in the United States. Another madman, Joe Lieberman, he's written an article for the Wall Street Journal. Now he wants to go after Syria. This guy is one of the biggest, most outlandish, most destructive warmongers I have ever seen. This guy who's supposed to be the conscience of the United States Senate, I'd like to see the guy chased out of the country. They chased him out of the Democratic Party in Connecticut, to the credit of the Connecticut Democrats, but he managed to squeeze his way back into office because the Republicans nominated some fool who split the vote up there, another Zionist Jew like Lieberman. But in any case, we have this Lieberman, you know, who is foisted off on us as the conscience of the Senate. My great fear, as I've said time and again, ladies and gentlemen, is that somehow, some way, Joe Lieberman is going to be catapulted to the White House by some means, by some mechanism, without a presidential election. Don't wish too hard for the impeachment of George W. Bush or Dick Cheney, because I have some feeling, and I've said it for years now, that somehow, some way, Joe Lieberman will end up in the White House, but it will be because they've already taken some action against Bush and his gang. You know, these people who carry water for the Zionists, they always end up getting the shaft. They don't learn it until too late, however. All right, we're going to a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, a little bit more commentary. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some things that I think you need to know about. Stay tuned.
Neighbor?
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington. I have a number of things to go through with you here this evening, so it will be some time before I get around to taking any phone calls. So unless you want to hang on the line, don't call in just yet. But if you are interested in calling in, the number here, of course, is 800-313-9443. You know, last night I was feeling particularly generous and invited up Rick from Florida to comment, despite the fact that Rick from Florida seems to think that Rick Adams and I are Jews because we have dimples in our chins. And Rick is also apparently pretty exercised by the fact that my baptismal name at birth, or I should say my given name, middle name at birth, was Bernard, something which is no secret, which I've never made a secret of. Just so happens I like the sound of Michael Collins Piper better than Michael Bernard Piper. And Bernard was a Christian name, like in the name of Saint Bernard, long before Jews ever thought about adopting that name. Well, aside from all that, as I say, I was feeling generous last night and allowed Rick to come on up to comment about the fact that, in his opinion, the Republic Broadcasting Network has failed to report on the kosher food racket, and to allow him to complain about the fact that I haven't written a book on the topic yet. Well, I haven't written a book about circumcision either. Maybe I'll get around to that eventually. Speaking of books, Professors Mearsheimer and Walt, who caused such a fuss with their paper on the Israel lobby and U.S. foreign policy, have finally issued their full-length book on the topic. It's published by
an eminently mainstream publishing house, Farrar, Straus, Giroux. Title of it is The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy. It's considerably longer than their original paper. They've added a lot of material to it, including the discussion of the frenzy that greeted the release of their paper. I have to say, of course, that much of the stuff that they wrote about in their paper, I've written about for years, as have other people. I could go on and on with the list, names that you would recognize, names that you wouldn't recognize, but a lot of the material is not particularly unique, but it's a good solid book. And the fact that it is written by two esteemed American academics who are hardly anything but quote-unquote extremists does illustrate the point that I've made time and again on this show, that there are a lot of people in high places in academia, in the military, in the CIA, and in the FBI, and in our law enforcement agencies who are wise to the Zionist Jewish game, and they are fighting back. There are a lot of good people in these places, folks. The very fact that they were able to indict Louis Libby again is just another example of this. Man deserved indictment. He deserved a lot more than he was even given sentence-wise. They should have hung the creep, but of course President Bush has commuted his sentence. President Bush, I hate to even call him President Bush. This person, Bush, you know, touted democracy. We need democracy, he said. We need free elections. And of course we know what happened when the Palestinians had free elections. George Bush rejected them, and the Israelis rejected them, and that ultimately helped cause the current split between Hamas and Fatah. What's interesting, though, folks, is that in the Washington Post for August 20th, that's yesterday, very long, interesting, very detailed article about the Bush administration's approach to quote-unquote democracy in countries around the world, it reveals that when the Palestinian parliamentary elections, which were scheduled for January 2006, were being considered, when those elections were forthcoming, the Washington Post reveals that Israeli leaders, including Zippy Livni, now the Israeli foreign minister, implored Bush advisors to not let the vote proceed. Hamas, deemed a terrorist group by the United States, could easily win, they warned. Isn't that interesting, folks? The Israelis implore the American administration to not let the Palestinians vote for their own leadership. Now, think about the context of that. Can you imagine how the British people would feel if they found out that the Irish had asked the Bush administration to stop the English people from voting in their parliamentary elections? Well, the English people would be mad as hell. But it's okay, you see. It's okay. And the Washington Post can report this very matter-of-factly, very freely, that the Israelis implored Bush to not let the vote proceed. And now the joke, of course, is they were upset that Hamas might win. Well, as I've noted here on this show, as has been noted by other independent sources, it's even been admitted by a UPI article that received some distribution some years ago. It's the Israelis who funded Hamas in the first place and helped build it up to try to undermine the secular nationalists of Fatah, which were then under the leadership of Yasser Arafat. Here's what happens, folks. The Israelis only want quote-unquote democracy when it's under their control. And that goes likewise for the Bush administration. It's very, very interesting. Okay, then even Natan Sharansky, the president's apostle, it reports, urged the Americans to postpone the Palestinian vote, arguing that democracy is about building institutions and civil society, not just holding elections. Well, there's the joke again, folks. We get the joke twice here. Hamas did, in fact, build institutions in the Palestinian society. Hamas was providing public welfare and education and a lot of things that a lot of Palestinians didn't feel they were getting from Fatah. And this came about because the Israelis helped build that institution known as Hamas, which in turn helped build other institutions in the Palestinian social, cultural, and political infrastructure. Alan Dershowitz has written a book called Chutzpah. Well, we're talking about ultimate chutzpah here, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the way these Israelis and their acolytes like George W. Bush have meddled in the Palestinian society and culture and political arena. What absolute hypocrites, folks. And then we wonder why we don't have friends around the country. We wonder why the world looks askance at us. Well, the great football hero, Michael Vick, pled guilty today. You know, I saw a picture in the Washington Times today of some poor dog scarred up from the dog fighting circuit. Very, very sad to look at, folks. But, you know, my point here is this, without getting into this issue of dog fighting, is that I saw one of the local newspapers here in Washington, D.C., try to make this issue of Michael Vick's trial a racial issue. The people that were mad at Michael Vick for being involved in dogfighting were animal lovers. It had nothing to do with race. If Michael Vick had been as white as snow, people would have been pissed off at him. But no, the Jewish-controlled media had to stir up the racial aspects of it and point out evidently the fact that most of the people who rallied on Michael Vick's behalf were black, and most of the people that were rallying against him were white. No, it had nothing to do with race, ladies and gentlemen. It had everything to do with cruelty to animals. But again, the Jewish-controlled media in this country likes to stir up racial problems in this country, and they take advantage of something that has nothing to do with race and make it a racial issue. Personally, I think Michael Vick's hands should be broken, or maybe his knees. I think his kneecaps should be broken as punishment for what he and his associates did to these poor dogs. And no, I'm not threatening to do it for those panty waists and those limp wrists and those worry warts out there who think I'm threatening Michael Vick. I can assure you that if Michael Vick and I were together in a dark alley, he would have the better advantage of it. And I don't expect to run into Michael Vick anytime soon. Certainly not at a football game. I haven't been to a football game since the Notre Dame-Purdue game back in the early 1970s. And yes, that was at Notre Dame University, a Roman Catholic university. But no, that doesn't mean that I'm part of the Vatican conspiracy to take over the world. Well, we're going to break very shortly, folks, here, and I'm going to give you a preview of some very interesting information that appears in the forthcoming issue of the Barnes Review, the Journal of Nationalist Thought and History. The reason why I'm going to give you a preview of this unpublished material is because I know once after you hear about what's in this issue of the Barnes Review, you're going to want to subscribe to the Barnes Review and get this issue, because it's a lot of very interesting stuff. So get your pen and paper handy, folks. I'm going to give you the contact information for the Barnes Review, and I'm even going to make a special discount offer for you to enter your subscription at a discount rate right now. So we are going to the break. Get your pen and paper handy. The Barnes Review website is barnesreview.org or barnesreview.com. I see quite a few of you have lined up to call in here, according to my computer, but it's going to be a while before I get around to you, so if you want to hang on, feel free to do so, but it will be a while before we get around to your calls. I have some very important information about a major new development in the 911 truth movement. This will be of special interest to those of you who are concerned about getting the truth about 911 out there. All right, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
In In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper. Again, just to remind the callers who are online, it's going to be quite a while before I get around to your calls, so you're going to have to be patient. Got to run through a few things here. Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned the forthcoming issue of the Barnes Review. The website is at barnesreview.org or barnesreview.com, but that website, again, does not contain everything that's in the published issue of the Barnes Review, but I'm going to go through the list of what is appearing in this forthcoming issue because I want to tell you something. Really interesting stuff. Now, this is subject to change, of course, because at the last minute, occasionally, there are things that are changed. But at this time, this is one issue that you're not going to want to miss. The first article is titled, My Journey to Holocaust Denial. That is a provocative topic. It's by Professor Ray Goodwin of Texas. He's spoken, in fact, he was one of our first callers on this program when it debuted well over a year ago. Good man, Professor Ray Goodwin, who is not Goodwin, who is not afraid to be politically incorrect. Then, following up in that same realm, is an article based on the work of Udo Valendi. Udo Valendi is a German revisionist historian who spent 15 months in jail in Germany for daring to question the official version of World War II. His article, which was assembled by the staff of the Barnes Review, It's an assembly of different work that he's done on the topic, which demonstrates that the famous Wannsee Conference, where the Germans supposedly plotted the extermination of the Jews, was anything but that. It was a conference where they discussed evacuation of the Jewish population of Europe to the east. Nothing to do with extermination. But anyway, it's a very interesting piece. I ran through it very quickly this evening. James P. Tucker, Jr., who is one of the editors of American Free Press, has an article about the fact that, and I've talked about this on the show, that the German internees here in the United States, German-Americans who were rounded up and held in concentration camps here in the States, the U.S. government is finally getting around to apologizing to them. There are two very interesting articles by Dr. Harold Rome. A lot of you are familiar with his work. One of them is a very interesting profile piece about the late William Dudley Pelley. This is a guy who was charged with treason, charged with sedition by the Roosevelt administration. And then there's another article by Dr. Rome on the subject of Jewish ritual murder. In the Barnes Review, it says there's no question that human sacrifice, murder for ritual purposes, has existed among many nations from ancient times and here and there among usually primitive peoples even to this day. But the idea of Jewish ritual murder, in which the victims are usually Christians, has always been a hot-button issue. Well, anyway, Dr. Harold Rome delves into this controversy in the forthcoming issue of the Barnes Review. John DeNugent, who's been a guest on this show, argues that Adolf Hitler did die in the bunker at the end of World War II, taking a counter-argument to recent claims in a very interesting published book that perhaps Hitler survived World War II. Read what Nugent has to say, read what the other side has to say, and take your pick. Then, we have two very interesting articles on Russia. Vladimir Putin, Resisting Zionism. Dr. M. Raphael Johnson, he's been a guest on this network on Rick Adams' show several times, and I'd like to get him on this show one day, discussing Vladimir Putin, showing that Vladimir Putin is not some secret communist hiding underneath the bed, getting ready to spring some New World Order trap on the United States. No, he's fighting the New World Order. He's fighting Zionism. There's also an interesting review of the book Synagogue of Satan by Mr. Hitchcock. Now, Tex Mars was a guest on this program. Tex has published this book, Synagogue of Satan, and he came on the show and talked about it. Well, now Willis Cardo, the publisher of the Barnes Review, has a very favorable review of the book Synagogue of Satan in this issue of the Barnes Review. And, of course, there is a piece by the late General Leon Degrelle. He was one of the most famous Waffen-SS soldiers. He was a Belgian, and these are from his personal memoirs. You'll recall that when the Institute for Historical Review was taken over by Mark Weber, directed by CIA asset Andrew Allen, Mark Weber, Tom Marcellus and company, quashed publication of Leon Degrelle's works because they said they were too pro-Nazi and flagrantly pro-Hitler. Yes, that's what Mark Weber, the famed revisionist, said at the direction of Andrew E. Allen. Well, fortunately, General Degrelle's widow asked Willis Cardo and the Barnes Review to preserve her late husband's writings, and through the good work of John DeNugent, in large part, a lot of that material has been rescued, has been translated, and is being published in the Barnes Review. So you will find another installment in General Leon Degrelle's works in this forthcoming issue of the Barnes Review. Now, to subscribe to the Barnes Review, you can go to barnesreview.org or barnesreview.com or write the following address: P.O. Box 158. 77. That's TBR for short. TBR. P.O. Box 15877, Washington, D.C. 20003. You can get a subscription at a discount price. And folks, when we come back from the break, I've give that information to you again and give you the discount price. Stay tuned, folks. You don't want to miss this issue.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I'm going to repeat that Barnes Review subscription information and give you an 877 number where you can call. Now, normally the Barnes Review is $46 a year, but if you want to get this September-October 2007 issue as part of a one-year subscription, I'm going to offer a special discount here. So when you call that number, you'll have to call it during regular business hours tomorrow. You're going to have to say that Mike Piper made a special offer for a one-year subscription at a drastic discount rate of $36 for six issues. It's normally $46, but if you call tomorrow and say that Mike Piper made this offer on his radio program, this one-time offer, you can get it for $36, and I'll make sure they start you off with your September-October 2007 issue. So here's that number. It's 877-773-9077. That's 877-773-9077. It's a good issue, folks. I wish I had put it together myself. Of course, when you subscribe to the Barnes Review, you'll not only get the bi-monthly issues of the magazine, but you'll also get the bi-monthly newsletter that comes every other month. Lots of good information there. All right, well, we are past the half hour, and I have to do this. I have to do this, folks, because as you know, From the beginning, American Free Press, the newspaper for which I have been writing since its inception, I was one of the founding editors of it, we have been bringing you the truth about 911, bringing you a lot of stories, sometimes conflicting stories, folks, of course, but bringing you stories that have been brought forth by independent writers and researchers and by our own staff. And I'm proud to say that from the very beginning, I said Israel was behind it. Not that Israel had advanced knowledge of it, but Israel was behind it. Well, as you know, our primary writer on 911 was Christopher Belin, and those of you who are regular listeners to this show, sadly, I'm sorry to say, know all about that mess. Well, I thought it had come full circle yesterday, folks, but it's even come more full circle. Christopher Belin has now published, as of yesterday, an open letter to Eric Hufschmidt. It's a powerful letter, folks, and essentially Christopher more or less admits that basically what I was saying all along was correct, although I don't expect him to acknowledge that. It's a rather lengthy letter. His first nine paragraphs in the letter praise Eric Hufschmidt for some of his work that he's done over the years, and he thanks him for that. But then he says this. This is Christopher Belin to Eric Hufschmidt. It is essential for your success that you are fair and honest. There are several areas where you have not stuck to the moral high ground and it has hurt your credibility immensely. Number one, you have spread false news. Number two, you have damaged my business and reputation by spreading false news. Number three, you engage in baseless allegations against serious 911 researchers like Dr. Stephen E. Jones and others. Number four, you use violent and hateful language. He goes on to say, for nearly 2 months, you and your colleague at the French Connection have said that I am missing in action, MIA, and that I and my family have been kidnapped or killed. You, however, know very well that this is not true because we have been exchanging emails and spoken on the phone several times during this time. This is spreading false news. You know very well that I have not been kidnapped, and I have told you so in plain English on several occasions since June that this is complete nonsense. So why do you continue to post such rubbish? To this day, the opening lines on your website say this, quote, Daryl Bradford Smith firmly believes Linda Shelton is a principal in the bizarre disappearance of the Belin family, etc., etc. Mr. Belin continues to write, I understand that you work together with Mr. Smith, but you have never even met him. You know that I have not been kidnapped, but you're unable to convince your associate on the French Connection of this? That's followed with a question mark. What kind of partnership do you have with Mr. Smith? Does he not believe you, the webmaster and producer of his radio show? Why do you allow him to spread false news, which you know full well is absolutely false? Don't you realize that this is like crying wolf and will only hurt your credibility? Why have you spread alarm among my supporters with false news? Here's what gets interesting. Mr. Belin writes, you certainly realize that it was your criticism of American Free Press that allowed that organization to fire me in October 2006. Although I was not even aware of the article that you had written, AFP used it against me by saying that I was an associate of yours. So it was guilt by association, which cost me my job. Because you wrote a critical article about AFP on your website, I lost my job. I must interject something here. Mr. Belin claims in his open letter to Mr. Hufschmidt that he didn't know about Mr. Hufschmidt's article, but in fact, Mr. Belin posted a link to that article when he wrote an article published elsewhere, so he certainly was aware of that article. But needless to say, Mr. Belin is now saying that it was Eric Hufschmidt who caused him to lose his job with American Free Press. He goes on to say, since I lost my income from AFP, I have had to rely on donations, editing jobs, and selling my children's book. At the same time, I've had to defend myself against malicious prosecution in the Cook County courts. Now, Mr. Belin says this to Eric Hufschmidt, his longtime partner. For the past 2 months or so, you have spread false information on my links, which go through your website, saying, note, we're not sure what happens if you donate money or order books from Belin. This note, says Mr. Belin, has obviously discouraged people from donating to my work or buying my book. Why would you do such a thing unless you really wanted to hurt my income and business? Then he goes on to comment about remarks that are made on the latest version of the Huffschmidt and Smith website. He says, you make some very unfair accusations and exhibit a very bizarre prejudice. He goes on to say that they have attacked Professor Stephen Jones. Of Professor Jones, Boleyn writes, Professor Jones has done more to explain the presence of molten metal in the rubble of the World Trade Center than anyone. His research has been extremely important in understanding what caused the buildings to collapse. Boleyn goes on to say, your baseless accusations against Jones put you on the same side as those Zionist agents who defamed the good professor in September 2006. He goes on to say to Eric Huffschmidt, whatever your motivation might be, you have done the same thing to Professor Jones as these Zionist agents. Why would you and Mr. Smith want to do that? Don't you see that you are effectively carrying water for the Zionists and those who would hide the truth of 9-1-1 by making such baseless accusations against Dr. Jones? He compares that to the idea of Dr. Jones being guilty until proven innocent. You are saying that Jones is guilty because he, quote-unquote, associates with Jim Hoffman? Guilty of what? Asks Boleyn. Now, this is very interesting. Boleyn takes off after Daryl B. Smith. He says to Eric Huffschmidt, Daryl B. Smith, your associate on the French Connection, evidently said some very nasty and untrue things about me after he met me in November 2005. Yet I have never held you accountable for your association with the person who evidently slandered me. This evil and malicious slander could have only come from him, that is Daryl Bradford Smith, because it concerned my visit to his home in France. He then goes on to say, ask yourself why Mr. Smith, or is it Dr. Smith, would spread evil slander about me and then avoid me for nearly a year. I asked you if you have ever met Mr. Smith, and you said he is, quote, just a voice on the phone, unquote. Then he asks Eric Huffschmidt, you do all this work for, quote, a voice on the phone, unquote. Eric, do you really know who you are associating with? Does Mr. Smith really have your best interest at heart? Is he really after the truth of 911? If so, why would he say such evil and false things about me and my family? After he slandered me, I spoke with you and Mr. Smith on your radio show. I did not hold this evil and harmful slander against you or your him. I thought it was more important to get the information about 911 out than to discuss our differences. Now, Mr. Boleyn says this. Now, however, I see that there is a pattern to this madness that is dangerous and harmful. I can no longer ignore the warning flag. Ladies and gentlemen, that's practically what I said a year ago. Warning Christopher Boleyn about Eric Huffschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith. I see that there is a pattern to this madness that is dangerous and harmful. Boleyn goes on to talk about the violent language that is appearing on the website of Daryl Bradford Smith and Eric Huffschmidt. Parenthetically, ladies and gentlemen, I would point out that David Duke, among others, has noted in the past that any time over the years he's been in any political meetings and so forth, anytime anyone advocated violence, almost invariably those people were Zionist agents trying to stir up trouble. That, of course, precisely appears to be what Huffschmidt and Smith are doing, and this is what obviously concerns Mr. Boleyn, who says, quoting his own statement, Huffschmidt urges me to speak on his internet radio show, but I simply cannot and would not want to be seen as supporting such calls for violence. I cannot associate myself with people who are seen as supporting violence. It is that simple. Boleyn concludes, I am compelled to write this open letter because my private communications with you obviously failed to produce any changes concerning the false news about me. You and Mr. Smith have lied about me and hurt my business. Your irresponsible and reckless comments can hurt you more than you think. I urgently and strongly urge you to consider my comments and stick to the facts and the moral high ground. You must remove any comments that can be seen as inciting violence. You must not make baseless allegations against others, and you must stick to the truth. There is no other way. Those are the words, ladies and gentlemen, not Michael Collins Piper, except where I obviously interjected what were clearly my comments. But no, these are the comments of Christopher Boleyn. I think Mr. Boleyn and his close advisor, Jerome Myers, and his wife, Helya Brand Caskell, now understand the poison that I detected a long, long time ago. But that poison led to Mr. Boleyn's loss of employment, a loss of a forum where he had thousands of readers, the loss of a forum where he could have had the skillful defense of anti-Zionist attorney Mark Lane, where he could have had American Free Press raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for his defense over an extended period of time. It's taken over a year, you know, and I guess it has come full circle. It all began on this program, folks, so I have been compelled to speak out here. As I say repeatedly, the full story has yet to be told. And really, we don't want to tell the full story because it's a pretty ugly story. But this open letter to Eric Hufschmidt by Christopher Boleyn has pretty much summarized it all quite well. Well, that having been said, we do have time for a few callers here. And let's go right to the land of Lincoln, the land where it all started out in the strange saga of Christopher Boleyn, the state of Illinois. And we have Steve in Illinois. Steve, come on up.
Yes, I want to allude back to your comment about John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walt being prohibited from speaking in front of the Chicago Council on
Exactly.
Global Affairs. To me, it shows that these people won't tolerate a clinical, sober, erudite, and objective discussion of the problem, but only one that's rigged and biased in their favor. And the other issue I wanted to bring up was Professor Finkelstein, who was objective about the Holocaust and gave a quite factual account of it, was barred from tenure at DePaul University after this Dershowitz guy wrote a letter and intervened against him. Could you comment on that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I guess that brings up something else that I wanted to comment on. In Australia right now, my friend Dr. Frederick Tobin of the Adelaide Institute may well go to jail in Australia because he has dared to criticize the power of the Israeli lobby and the Holocaust lobby and relate it all to the situation in the Middle East and everything that's going on in the world today. We don't have exactly we have a little more freedom than they do in Australia. But it's amazing. One of the things that Dr. Tobin is in trouble for is quoting Dr. Finkelstein, who you referenced, quoting the fact that Dr. Finkelstein has said that there are people who profit from the Holocaust. So what we have to look at here in the United States is when we see the Israeli lobby and very powerful Jewish organizations that aren't just necessarily devoted to lobbying for Israel, we find them trying to silence not just radical extremists like me, so-called, but respected academics, and they do not want, as you say, civil and open debate on it. And the problem we have is that they will continue pushing to the point where that not only will it be perfectly acceptable for them to harass and boycott and threaten and extort people to try to silence them and succeed in doing it, but I tell you what, Steve, what scares me is the fact that they are pushing for laws to criminalize the very kind of discussion that we're talking about here in this program and the very kind of discussion that Stephen Walt and John Mearsheimer are talking about. Because bear in mind that groups such as the Anti-Defamation League have for years said that material and information and commentary that is critical of Jewish interests in the United States could potentially lead to violence. And therefore, they have proposed model legislation that would criminalize political discussion, saying that, yes, in fact, it's just like pornography leads to violence against women. Well, they're saying that this political language is political pornography and that it could lead to violence against American Jews who support Israel. So we have something to be concerned about. This is just them putting their foot, their toe in the door. And if they're going to do this to respected academics like Mearsheimer and Walt, what are they going to do to other people? What do you think, Steve?
Yes, I think that's very dangerous because they're trying to outlaw thought.
And that's exactly what it comes down to. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, they are setting the stage. They've already got the Patriot Act in place. They've already got all sorts of other mechanisms in place to limit freedom of expression in times of a national emergency or national crisis. And we know now that the Bush administration is very skilled at frightening the population. So God forbid they should ever have another opportunity to do it, because I think they'll do it this time. All right, Steve, thanks for your call. Glad you brought that up. It ties right into what's happening in Australia to the good Dr. Frederick Tobin. All right, folks, we're going to a break, and we'll be able to squeeze in at least one more caller here after the break. Thanks for your patience, callers. Thanks for your patience, listeners. Had to go through that open letter to Eric Huffschmidt. Very, very important, because Christopher Blend seems to have come to his senses, at least in part.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This hour goes fast. Goes fast for me, anyway. it goes slow for you, I guess that means it's boring. Well, in any case, we do have a couple callers lined up here. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. We'll try to squeeze Joe in before the end here. Joe, what's going on tonight? We lost Joe from Pennsylvania. Let's go to, let's see, do we have Martin in Washington?
I'm here. Are you?
Martin, how are you tonight?
Doing real well. And you?
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I made it through another show.
Yeah. By the way, it sounds like maybe a little bit of levity wouldn't hurt. There was a commercial for Most Holy Family Monastery. Do you know what a monastery is?
Well,
it's a home for unwed fathers.
What is it?
A home for unwed fathers.
Well, I hope so. Anyway, they're not supposed to be wed.
Good to hear you laugh. You haven't all show. Anyway, that's not why I called, though. And yesterday you had a caller who talked about the town council that slapped the ADL in the face.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A couple of other things happened over the weekend. These are from Boston.com, the website of the Boston Globe, which is not known as some Jew-hating yellow journalism rag, you know.
Okay.
Okay, the first thing was, and it has to do with the Turkish genocide, which they don't want to label genocide. Anyway, this is from August 18th, and I'll just read the first paragraph. The National Anti-Defamation League fired its New England regional director yesterday, one day after he broke ranks with the national ADL leadership and said the human rights organization should acknowledge the Armenian genocide that began
in
1915.
Very interesting.
And then, because we don't have much time, we'll skip to the next article, which was dated the following day, the 19th, headlined, two members of regional ADL board quit. Firing of local director brings protest debate. And the first paragraph, at least two prominent board members of the Regional Anti-Defamation League have resigned in protest over the national ADL's decision to fire the regional director for acknowledging the slaughter of Armenians during World War I as genocide.
Interesting, interesting. It's you know.
I thought you might enjoy it. You could use some
good
news
every
once in a while.
I hate to celebrate. I hate to celebrate at the problems of others. But you know, the Anti-Defamation League has caused so many problems for so many people for so many years that you know, they're just a bad group of people. They played a major role in getting honest, innocent, decent Americans indicted on sedition charges back during World War II. So and they of course have spied on and harassed and tortured so many people over the years that when they get their just desserts and when they start shooting at each other and fighting among themselves, we can't help but celebrate. I didn't know about those latest developments, Martin, but I appreciate you bringing them to my attention and to the attention of the caller or to the listeners here tonight.
And one quick item on it. One of the people who resigned made the comment that the Nationals' decision to fire him over this issue was hurting Jews.
Hurting a lot of people because it's an issue that needs to be discussed. Well,
but specifically hurting
the
Jews.
We're losing the hour here, Mark.
I understand,
but I appreciate your calls, and I appreciate everyone who listened in tonight. This is Michael Collins Piper signing off.